Hail to the Redskins! Hail victory! Brave on the warpath! Fight for all we see!
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35, vaults a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone! Touchdown, Washington Redskins!
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
Welcome to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. As we speak, the Redskins are preparing to face the Eagles in an NFC East showdown in Philly on Sunday. My guest played the Eagles many times in his career, spent 11 seasons in D.C., 79 through 89, at middle linebacker. He helped anchor the Redskins' D during the Joe Gibbs One glory period, and he earned rings from the Redskins' wins in Super Bowl 17 and 22. Wasn't loud and flashy, just went out and did his job and did it very well. Number 52, Neil Okowitz. How you doing, Neil?
Doing good, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Always great to speak with you. You were a guest on my very first TV show a few years ago, Burgundy and Gold Magazine. I know we had an excellent conversation then, very compelling, and I know this is going to be a great one as well. By the way, I wanted to congratulate you. I know you just got engaged.
Yeah, thank you. Going the second time around.
Very nice, very nice. And you're living in Pennsylvania right now, very close to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm outside of Philadelphia. My hometown was there, and now I'm out another 20 minutes from there in a place called Gilbertsville, a little more country.
If we have a little bit of time, I want to catch up to you on growing up in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. I know it was kind of a steel town, and you know how that played into your work ethic and personality and so forth. But hey, that was a great win yesterday by the Redskins, beating the Jaguars 41-10, snapping a 9-game losing streak. The players must be feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, that's got to be a big monkey off their back. It really was nice to see, and it's good to be talking about them after a big win like that. They really look good, and you know, they pretty much dominate from the beginning to the end.
Right, I guess the 1980 season, when you played under or Jack Pardee's last season in D.C. is maybe the only time you can really relate to, you know, having gone through that type of a streak or anything resembling it. So I was thinking that, hey, I can't even remember the last time the Redskins won a game, but it actually went back to November of last year. So to me, it felt really good, and I'm very happy for the players as well. Now, what do you think of the injury to Robert Griffin? He dislocated his ankle in the first quarter. You know, it's I feel really bad for the guy because he worked so hard to come back. And he's going to be out for some time. And now we have Kirk Cousins in. What do you think if Cousins plays well, say, over the next 2 months, and then Griffin is ready to come back, what does the coach do? How does the coach decide who gets that starting role?
Yeah, it could be a tough decision. Of course, it helps if they win all those games in between. That's the main deciding factor. But he certainly came in and did a great job, and now he's got to prove he can be consistent. You know, a guy like RG3 is always going to be ready to step back in. But, you know, really, to last that long, you need that many quarterbacks anymore. So hopefully he can stay healthy.
Right. Well, regarding the defense, too, we're all proud of the defense for its performance yesterday. The unit held the Jaguars to only 148 yards, and they recorded 10 sacks, which tied a single-game team record. What do you think of the performance? I mean, that was a pretty demonstrative showing.
Yeah, like I said, it sure was. They dominated from the beginning to the end, and with that many sacks, and just about completely shut them down. You know, that's the way to win it. There wasn't much doubt about that one.
Right. It surely shows that the Redskins can display a balanced game both on offense and defense. The offense piled up so many yards in that game. What do you think in particular of Ryan Kerrigan? I mean, I'm sure you can relate to him. And he tied a single-game Redskins record with 4 sacks yesterday.
Yeah, he seems to be the heart of the defense. He leads by example. And, you know, still a young kid that has come into the league and pretty much set it afire, and he's continuing along the way.
Do you think that he's developed a lot more moves since he came into the league? Because I guess when, he, first of all, he played in a down position in college, and now he's you know, played a stand-up in the pros. So do you think he's developed more moves since he's been in the league?
Oh, yeah, he was a raw talent, and you can tell he's a guy, he loves to play football, and I'm sure he's studying everything that the opponents are doing, and definitely it's showing.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Jay Gruden, first-year Redskins head coach, and, of course, yesterday was his first win, but just initial observations, thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, seems to be doing a good job, has the team going the right direction. And again, the Jaguars had played the Eagles very well in the first half, and looked like an upset was going to come. So it's, you know, the Jaguars are a decent team, and the Redskins came out and turned it on when they needed to.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about any similarities, differences between Gruden and Joe Gibbs? Because when in 1981, Gibbs' first year as a head coach in the NFL, his first year with the Redskins, I mean, he was a rookie head coach as well. And you were there at the time. It was your third season in the league. So can you compare and contrast the two?
Yeah, it is a good likeness because they both were offensive guys, young, like you said, and kind of breaking into the league as their first head coaching jobs. And, you know, and hopefully it'll turn out the same as Gibbs' great career did. But, yeah, they are definitely from the same mold. And, of course, Gruden's got the football bloodline and everything, too. So certainly looking like he's going to give it a good shot.
Mm-hmm. Did you see a real hunger in Joe Gibbs when he came into the league?
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe had the hunger the whole time. He was famous for staying the late nights and never leaving and not knowing what was going on in the outside world from the very beginning. And, of course, we got off to a terrible start, and, we didn't ever going to win a game there for a while, and then about the eighth game, turned it around, and the rest was history. But, he was a guy that was pretty much a player coach, was progressive, and he kept working at it. Initially came in and was trying to use his offense from, like, the Cardinals, like they'd use there, and adopted it to the personnel we had and used Riggins and the Hogs, kind of came about. And we mixed the combination of the hard running with the good passing.
What do you think of Gruden's demeanor? To me, he comes across as a no-nonsense guy, and I've heard it from a number of players, but what are your thoughts on that, his personality?
Yeah, he does seem like that, where he knows what needs to be done, like as he's been around football for a long time, so he knows there's a time to work and a time to play, and definitely has a feel for what's going on offensively, and can run a team.
You know, it sort of reminds me of you in a way, because you had that workmanlike attitude when you played in the league. It was, like I said earlier, not flashy. You weren't really flamboyant or anything like that. And even Redskins publicists called you, quote, a beer and pretzels guy. did that stem from your upbringing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we were back in those days. We were a thriving steel town and had a lot of blue collar workers and football was a big deal in our area. And back in those days, it wasn't good to be a hot dog. You were just part of a team. You were honored to play on it, and people were a tough breed. So we took our football serious and enjoyed playing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to learn a lot more about your memorable Redskins career, and I want our audience to hear about it as well. But right now, we need to go to break. Now, here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. On September 19, 2005, the Redskins pulled off one of the most breathtaking sequences in team history. With less than 4 minutes to play, they trailed the Cowboys 13-0 on a Monday night at Texas Stadium. Their offense had been anemic up to that point, and one could safely chalk up a W for Dallas. But on 4th and 15, quarterback Mark Brunell threw a 39-yard TD pass to receiver Santana Moss. 2 minutes later, Brunell launched a gorgeous bomb that hit Moss in stride, and he coasted into the end zone on a 70-yard play that tied the game at 13. The conversion put the Skins up by one, and the Monday night miracle was complete. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richmond, here with one of the greatest Redskins linebackers ever, a member of the team's 80 greatest team, Neil Olkowitz. Welcome back, Neil.
Thanks, Mike.
Great to have you on again. Well, back to your career. As I mentioned earlier, you played 11 seasons in D.C., 79 through 89. You played in 150 games, started nearly every one, and you picked off seven passes. What were the... Tell me about the key or the keys to your longevity and consistency.
Well, for one, I had to fight for my job every year. So, you know, I worked hard. I never took anything for granted. You know, we were a team of blue-collar guys, and everybody just kind of bonded together. And yeah, I never wanted to let my buddies down, and they never wanted to let me down. And, you know, whatever we took, we did it. And we certainly weren't afraid to work, and we enjoyed it. We figured we could outwork most of the teams, and we figured we had to just to stay with them or to beat them.
Now, you personally, you weren't the biggest or fastest linebacker, 6 feet, 230 pounds, and you weren't assured of a starting role every year, like you just alluded to. So that must have been pretty nerve-wracking to know that your job was regularly on the line, I guess training camp after training camp. Was that like a real mental and physical challenge for you?
Yeah, it was, but it also kept me on the edge, too. You know, I never got too complacent. So, you know, in the long run, looking back on it, I think it was really a good thing because, you know, I saw a lot of guys that come in and have a couple good years and get a little cocky, and next thing you know, they were gone. So, yeah, I think it helped in the long run. That I knew it was going to be a fight every year, and took on the challenge and kind of enjoyed it.
And you stayed even keeled the whole time. I mean, you just didn't, like you say, some of these guys got a little cocky, but I take it, you know, you just stayed focused.
Yeah, certainly tried to. And then the bottom line was I really enjoyed playing the game. You know, that was, I really, one of the things I enjoyed, it fit my personality. And so it was something that was a love of the game and really wasn't that much of a job other than it was hard.
Did anybody tell you along the way whether, you know, prior to college, prior to the NFL, or even during your days in the NFL, that, hey, you know, your days are numbered, you're not going to play any longer in the NFL, or you're not even, you know, prior to the NFL, you're not qualified for the pros or anything like that? And if so, did that make you work harder?
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, being undrafted, I knew it was a long shot, and you know, there was always people saying I wouldn't play. Although it was always more my size and speed. It wasn't so much that, you know, I didn't have the ability to play. It was just that I wouldn't be able to match up size and speed-wise. But, yeah, I took that as a challenge, and I'm pretty stubborn, and it helped me work harder, really. I think it made me want to prove everybody wrong, and I put the chip on my shoulder and didn't take it off.
I should say that you played right down the road from D.C. at the University of Maryland, Maryland Terps, my alma mater. So we'll get into that in a second. I want to get your thoughts on Maryland's move to the Big Ten. But this season for the Redskins, it marks the 25th anniversary since the Redskins had, an infamous clash against the Eagles in 1989. They're facing the Eagles, of course, this coming Sunday. I wanted to ask you about that game. It was the second game of the season against Philly in 89, and it was a heartbreaking loss for you guys, 42-37. And the Redskins led 20-0 at one point in that game, led by 9 with a few minutes left, and then running back Gerald Riggs fumbles the ball late. Eagles' Wes Hopkins picks it up, returns to 77 yards, and then Randall Cunningham throws his fifth touchdown of the day, and the Eagles pulled it out. What was going through your mind, whether watching Hopkins return that fumble, or just as the Eagles were climbing back, or just losing the game in general?
Yeah, it was just one of those days with it was like a pinball game, you know, and that was back in the days when we didn't have all those high scoring games. it was just one of them days where Randall Cunningham was hot, and it was the weather was hot, and we weren't used to having these high scoring games. But as it turned out, it was, and that early in the season, it was kind of a big shock. But we made it through.
I should also say that was a really, really good period for the Eagles. That was the Buddy Ryan era, and those were some tough Eagles teams. So that period, from the mid-'80s through 1990, the NFC East was like the black and blue division. So I'm sure you enjoyed squaring off against those guys every year, the Eagles, Giants, Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, that was a great division. There were no easy games, and always enjoyed playing them. And, yeah, the Eagles, that was kind of their prime time with Buddy, and they were talking their stuff and could back it up. And Giants were always tough, and, of course, the Cowboys was always a big rivalry anyway, no matter what. So it was certainly a good time in the NFC East.
Now, about the University of Maryland, you played there for 4 years, and you sort of had an unheralded career there as well, even though you led the team in tackles several seasons, and then you signed on as a undrafted free agent with the Redskins. What do you think of Maryland's move to the Big Ten? They're actually going to start head-to-head competition against Big Ten opponents. So just your opinion.
Well, really, when it first happened, I wasn't happy about it. I hated to see all the tradition gone for all those years. And I thought it might be kind of a big step into the Big Ten, where it might be take some beatings and stuff. But as it's going on, I've come to accept it. And, you know, I assume they know what they're doing. And I know money's a big part of collegiate sports these days, unfortunately. So I'm sure that's a part of it. But I do hate to see all the past rivalries and the things that we've experienced over the years kind of go down the drain. But the world does change, I guess, and I'm still a Terp at heart, and I'll stick with them no matter what.
Do you think that Maryland football will be able to compete against the Michigans, Ohio States, Michigan State, for that matter, those types of programs in the Big Ten? Because the Terps have not won the ACC title every year, so... And the ACC is a lower-level football conference than the Big Ten. So will Maryland be able to match up against those schools?
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that, too. Hopefully they can, and I think they're going to have to, you know, improve recruiting and improve things just to stay with them, because it certainly is a storied conference, and, you know, they're a lot of big, strong, fast people, and, you know, it's very easy to get embarrassed.
Well, love the conversation, Neil. I want to thank you very much again, and I'm sure our audience really enjoyed it. They always enjoy hearing from Redskins from the glory years, 80s, early 90s. So, anyway, I hope to see you at some upcoming Redskins alumni events, and are you planning on coming to any this season?
Yeah, with the we're coming to the alumni one. I think it's Tennessee Titans game that they're having everybody down for this year, so we'll see you then.
Right. I look forward to seeing you. Many thanks to my audience for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, and kudos to my producer, Mike Engel. Nobody's better at running the board. I'm Mike Richmond. My website is RedskinsHistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. For now, hail to the Redskins.